There is money in auctioning off the invisible. Good morning, I'm David Brancaccio. The head of the Federal Communications Commission, Ajit Pai, wants companies to pay for space on the airwaves to enable next-generation 5G wireless. We're talking a big auction of valuable radio frequency spectrum. Marketplace's Erica Barris is following the story. Erica, help us understand this.
Well, yesterday, Ajit Pai said the best way to get 5G going is through a public auction. 5G is the next level of internet technology. Promises to make downloads faster, make mobile devices better, essentially propel us into this future of the Internet of Things where everything is interconnected. But we haven't moved forward with setting this up.
Why is that?
One reason being that officials have debated where this is all going to go. In order to have 5G and the Internet of Things, you need to have the space and infrastructure in place in order to support it. And as telecommunications lawyer Harold Feld with the group Public Knowledge explains.
And the problem is that the airwaves are very crowded, and a lot of the spectrum that we'd like to use for 5G in the United States is already occupied by other users. So we have to figure out ways to shuffle things around and make more of that spectrum available for 5Gs.
So shuffle, what would this mean for instance, satellite companies?
So the industry giants in the space, Intelsat and SES, haven't been opposed to selling their spectrum, but they've wanted a not public but private auction to get a piece of the action. And there's talk of a lawsuit.
All right. Marketplace's Erica Barris, thank you. The embattled West Coast utility PG&E is in bankruptcy court today trying to reorganize its obligations with its system getting blamed for deadly California wildfires. The company is making a complex argument to try to reduce an estimated $30 billion in liability. Marketplace's Scott Tong reports.
PG&E is arguing against a legal concept called inverse condemnation. It lets California homeowners sue the utility for causing wildfires. And under inverse condemnation, they don't even have to show that PG&E was negligent, according to Shelley Ross Saxer at Pepperdine Law.
It's the landowner that brings the claim to say they are entitled to just compensation.
PG&E says it should only be on the hook if it can pass its costs on to the public by raising rates, which it's not allowed to do. Robert Thomas, a lawyer at Damon Key, says if PG&E wins the argument, its liability could go way down.
From their perspective, yes, having the monkey of inverse condemnation off your back, that would be very nice. I mean, I would breathe a lot easier.
On the other side of the argument are fire victims and insurance companies who say utilities should pay for problems they cause. This case goes to the broader question of who pays for damage from disasters as fires and floods get more frequent. I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
We do watch markets. The FTSE index in London is up 1.2%. Here, S&P futures are up 0.3%. And the home declutterer supreme, Marie Kondo, wants you to buy more stuff to put into your home. Kondo, whose books on the Japanese art of tidying up and folding T-shirts precisely led to a Netflix series, has now opened KonMari. It's an online store selling stuff to put on those now empty shelves and tables. Maybe not since the dawn of time, but all through the 20th century into the 21st year, the cost of Wall Street middlemen and middlewomen has stayed close to 2%. But after all these years, data now show their cut for running investment portfolios or facilitating financial transactions is now getting squeezed with some interesting social consequences. The person with the data is Thomas Philippon, a professor of finance at New York University's Stern School. Professor, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
This 2% fee was typical for what? Just about everything? Buying a stock or a bond or selling?
I found, much to my surprise, that this unit cost had not really changed for a century. And when I updated my research last year, I saw that finally, since maybe the past 10 years, we see a small but significant decline in the average cost of financial services.
What do you think it is? New technology? I mean, we talk about this phrase fintech, financial technology. I mean, I guess you could think of that as kind of like Uber finally squeezing taxi fares. New technology comes to Wall Street.
Yeah, I think it's always a combination of two things. It's technology and competition. Finally, today, what we see is actually both. thanks to fintech. But fintech is done both by small firms like startups, but also, of course, the large firms are also doing fintech. And thanks to that, I think we see finally a decrease in the cost of finance.
Yeah, you have these robo-advisors. Instead of paying a more expensive human being to give you some stock advice, a little voice can come on the phone or through your computer and try to assess your risk profile and so forth, and that can bring costs down, things like that.
Absolutely, yeah. So then the thing that was really interesting to me is first to show that finally we have some, you know, improvement in the cost of finance, but then to think more deeply about who's going to benefit from it. It turns out that people had very mixed feeling and mixed views about it because they thought, if you want to have a good AI system for robo-advising, it has to be huge because the fixed costs are so big that you need to have a massive portfolio to do it. And somehow people thought, well, anything big is not going to be that good for the little guys. And I think in that case, it's wrong, actually. Now with AI and with these robo-advisors, I think the cost of having good professional-level advice for portfolio management is going to come down a lot, which means that people with less wealth to invest will be able to afford these services. And so my prediction is that we're going to see a democratization of access to finance, at least on the portfolio side.
Thomas Philippon at NYU's Stern School of Business. The paper is called On FinTech and Financial Inclusion, publishes a working paper at the National Bureau of Economic Research. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Dr. Philippon has just come out with a new book about concentration of corporate power. It's called The Great Reversal, How America Gave Up on Free Markets. Watch this space for more on that. Our producers are Rose Conlon, Victoria Craig, Meredith Gerritsen, Candace Manriquez-Wren, and Daniel Shin. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.